Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yes, yes, yes. We've gotten to the time on Tuesdays where we welcome Tom Scott, former state senator, political pundit, political operative, back to the airwaves. How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing well, Todd, and it sounds like you're rested and relaxed and ready to keep promoting truth, justice, and the American way. All right.
It's a beautiful mission.
I hope you and yours had a good time.
Yeah, it was great. It was the first chance to romp around Connecticut in a while, and we had ice cream in West Hartford. We ate dinner outside, lunch outside. We might have even had a meal inside. We were out pretending there had been no virus, and there was no virus.
Excellent. Well, I had a wonderful 4th of July, by the way, and I only bring that up in the context of the cancel culture. You know, some people have already suggested we shouldn't be celebrating the 4th of July, and of course they will opportunistically build on the COVID-19 cancellations.
Yes.
But I was down on the Milford Shore, something I've done since I was 5 years old, and from my vantage point, it was a clear night. I could see Guilford, Brantford, East Haven, New Haven, West Haven, Milford, and then to the south and west, even Long Island itself. All the professional displays were canceled because of COVID-19, but I've never in my life seen so many fireworks going off from private citizens who were embracing.
Wasn't that great?
It was humbling. Really, to see all those people saying, not now, not ever. You're not going to take this holiday away from us, whether it's because of a virus or because of the cancel culture. And as John Adams said, on that day, every year, the sky should be illuminated by future generations of Americans. And they came through for old John Adams, I'll tell you.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that in a long time, and I'd forgotten about it. What was it about explosions in the sky that they wanted to be the symbol of liberty moving forward?
Well, it was a sign of celebration, really, throughout the world. I mean, those that had access to this stuff. And let me, a little safety caveat here. That's one night a year, by the way, when I think it ought to, when all bets should be off and everybody should look the other way and people should safely with their kids, celebrate our 4th of July holiday. But it really was a symbol and continues to be of celebration, of freedom, of liberty. And it was just extraordinary to watch. And this was happening all over the country. I saw article after article and YouTube video after YouTube video of people celebrating in a way that they hadn't before, because usually they relied on, groups, county fairs and carnivals and municipalities to do it. But people did it on their own this time. It was something to watch.
Yeah, it was there hasn't really been a sufficient rebelliousness in the air, in my mind, given the nature of the shutdown and the oppressive sort of period that we've been in. And it was wonderful to see so much of that rebelliousness. You know, the bristling over the idea of being shut down is how I viewed it. And fireworks are wonderful. They're like a big sparkling glass of champagne up in the sky. It is celebratory.
Well, I was encouraged, and I'll tell you, I did two more things, my own, in your face to the cancel culture. I watched Hamilton, which was just out by Disney about a week ago.
They launched their new app with it, right?
Yeah, they gave $75 million to the guy who wrote the play, whose name I would credit him here, but I just can't remember his name. He actually played Hamilton. And immediately, the cancel culture started viciously attacking Hamilton, which is a wonderful play, by the way. You can see it on Disney, and I would encourage people to watch it before they cancel it or before they put all kinds of warning labels on it or have some, you know, mandatory re-education video that you have to watch for 3 or 4 minutes before watching the play. It's actually the play, but it's on, you know, you can get it on the Disney Channel now. And the guy that was paid $75 million, who was made a multi-millionaire by the success of this wonderful play, as soon as the cancel culture attacked him and his play, he apologized. He signed the public confession. I'll tell you, Alexander Hamilton had more courage in the end of his little pinky than this multi-millionaire who bowed before the cancel culture mob. That was a disgusting sight. He should have been proud of what he produced, and he should have said, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. But instead, he caved, and it was really a sickening thing to watch. But I would encourage people to watch it. I tell you, we also watched Midway, the 2019 version, and I had my youngest child with me to watch it because he'll never hear about this in school. The courage, the intelligence, especially with the code breakers, the innovation, you know, these 19-year-old kids on the back of these torpedo bombers, most of whom didn't make it, and the fact that it was the turning point of the war, and if not for that battle, you know, San Francisco, as they said in the movie, would have burned. And you know, some historians take, you know, nitpick about a couple of little things in the movie, but it's very, very historically accurate. And I would urge people, if you want to stick your finger in the eye of the cancel culture, watch Midway and make sure you have a young person with you, because it tells the story of America in a way that they're not hearing now, because the cancel culture want everybody to believe that America is the source of all evil in the world and has been since our existence.
Which I think all of us have that responsibility to articulate for young people with passion and excitement the way you do, Tom, exactly what America is all about. Let's just get a weather report in, then we'll continue with Tom Scott, former state senator and political observer and activist. So, Tom, this moment that we're in, the cancel culture, there's a new name for it. It's the anti-racism movement. And this anti-racism movement, I was talking earlier about how I'm confused by what this is all about. They say that they're rebelling against the horrible leadership, the horrible government that we have in this country, its history and how cruel it's been and how cruel it is. And their solution is to vastly expand the power of that state they claim to hold in disdain. What's your take on that?
Well, Todd, I'll answer that, but hold on a second. I've got to turn down the stove so my Goya beans don't boil over.
Oh, yes. No, you don't want to burn them. They're valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Todd, it's you and I have talked about this so many times. It really is about education. I saw a meme recently which kind of sums it up in a sense. It's a little simplistic, but all these people that want to defund the police, maybe we should defund some of the colleges and universities in this country who have been not only lying about American history but poisoning the minds of young people. I think it's great. I mean, to your point, I think it's great that people question authority. That's uniquely American in many ways. You know, you can't stand up in China and question authority, or Cuba, or North Korea. I mean, you and I can name 100 countries in the world where you can't question authority. So questioning authority is fine. Burning buildings is not. Lying to young people at taxpayer expense, whether it's in a public high school or a public college or a private school, that's not okay.
Well, you know, this glorious thing that is the notion of liberty, you just went through those countries, and a couple of them are countries that are revered by the left inexplicably. And I guess that was a signal to us of where this thing would head as they gained more steam. The fact that there is such an active anti-Americanism, a thread of hostility towards the notion of freedom, And I think it's most often articulated as a contempt for capitalism, but capitalism is the ultimate democratic principle. There is no freedom, there is no liberty, there is no good stuff without the ability to make our own money, to be able to trade on our own creativity and keep the fruits of our labor.
And we should scream it from the highest points in this country. And how did we get to this place where so many young people, high school, in particular high school and college students, actually think that, that there's a better world somewhere outside of the borders of America? How did we get to the point that there's such a dearth of knowledge and pushback, frankly? I mean, I heard somebody recently say that our people have been spending too much time in think tanks in the last, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 years. And I think there's some truth to that. We should have been in high schools and on college campuses fighting back aggressively. And I don't know if it's too late or not, but whether we think it's too late or not, we ought to do it anyway. It's knowledge, Todd. It's knowledge. We need to impart knowledge to young people. I keep saying this over and over and over again.
Well, that's why I thought your story about taking your youngest child to or watching Midway with him, that's the kind of – I assume you had conversations with him as bookends to that movie where you put it in context for him.
Yes, in fact, he was getting a little annoyed, my 15-year-old, because I kept pausing the movie to explain things and actually show up a map. But yes.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we owe that to the next generation. And I think a lot of us have that question is, what is it about the Republican Party, which is supposed to represent conservative values and carry the beacon of liberty and freedom and capitalism and all those things? And instead, it seems to, on a national level, you know, I think of Mitch McConnell, who's very good at manipulating circumstances. You know, he sees where momentum is about to turn things, and he runs and gets in the way of the swing in his direction so he can jump on and catch a ride. But at the same time, he's not arguing what the purpose is for wanting to do the things he wants to do. And I know Mitch McConnell is devout in his zeal for making sure that the American system of government is protected, and yet why doesn't he ever talk about it?
Well, he not only doesn't talk about it, but he's had many I mean, look, I'll give him credit where credit is due. He's gotten a lot of judges through, and a lot of this has been a quiet work project on his part. But he refuses to push the envelope and get rid of the filibuster, for example, on basic things where the Constitution didn't intend a supermajority vote. And mm-hmm. he could have stripped a lot of the power from Schumer and that gang by simply requiring a majority vote on most important things as envisioned by the founders, if I may go back to Alexander Hamilton for a moment.
What was glorious about the play, by the way? I've avoided the play because I assumed that it was made by leftists in New York, in Broadway, and that I assumed that they would do a mistreatment of the spirit of what America is all about.
Well, you know, Todd, I had the exact same perception. And this wasn't my idea to watch Hamilton during this 4th of July holiday. It came out a few days after the 4th of July. Someone convinced me that I would like it. And the person that convinced me was someone whose judgment I respect. And I liked it. It was well done. I mean, the cadence was excellent. The singing, the history. I mean, they really did capture it. Again, they took a few liberties. For example, they suggest that Aaron Burr and Hamilton were actually, you know, good friends from the beginning to the end, which wasn't true. But it helped make the story a little more plausible in the end. I don't want to give too much of it away, but I don't have to because most of it is historically accurate.
But it was respectful towards the idea of American principles?
Oh, it was absolutely respectful. In fact, King George, who was played by a very talented actor, was almost in tears trying to explain why George Washington gave up power after one term as president. He's like, what do you, people don't do that, he said. It was really well done. Again, it's very hard to explain unless you watch it yourself. I would not have been saying this a mere 3 weeks ago. I had to get dragged screaming and kicking to watch it.
That's great.
But I enjoyed it, and I'm going to watch it again before they put all the warning labels on it.
Well, good. I'm glad you scouted it for us. Thank you for the review. Maybe we can make this a regular feature of your appearance, Tom Scott.
Check it out.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Anytime.
Former State Senator Tom Scott.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.